Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Cantara Show.
Oh, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, as we dive into hour number three, thanks so much for joining me today. Got a chuckle, Jim. We've been on for 2 hours. Seems like we've been on for about two segments. This show's flying by today.
Lots to talk about, lots to discuss.
You and I were going back and forth this weekend on text messages, more than we normally do. There were a lot of things going on.
Yeah, well, after the All-Star break, you have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and boy, we do have a lot to talk about when we're talking about our home ball club right now. Padres with an off day today. They sit at 45 and 48. They start the game 16 games back of the Dodgers, 3 games back of the wild card. And the start of the day, they had only a game and a half lead over the last place, San Francisco Giants. Well, right now, the Giants taking the Colorado Rockies to the woodshed at Coors Field. They're in the bottom of the eighth inning right now. The Giants lead that ball game 17-2. They have another ball game coming up later tonight. And if the Giants were to win that ball game, they'd only be a half game back of the fourth place San Diego Padres. Think about this, Jim. The Giants started the day 4.5 games back in the wild card.
And you to think at the beginning of the year how bad they were to now being there.
Well, they didn't have an outfield. Now they got an outfield. Mike Yastrzemski's doing a pretty good job.
The great Alex Dickerson's come through.
Alex has got at least 3 hits in this game today, doesn't he? Started off 3-for-3.
It's bad to see the standings and see the Padres closer to the Giants than the Dodgers.
And Kevin Pillar's done a good job since he came over. I mean, the outfield at the beginning of the year was a disaster for the Giants. Now Brandon Crawford's starting to hit. Posey's starting to get a little healthier. He's starting to hit. I mean, the Giants, who knows? The Giants, the way they're playing right now, I'm a little concerned. The Padres, they better get rolling or they're going to be in the cellar here by the end of the week.
If they finish the year in last place.
Well, there are going to be some changes if that's the case. There'll be some changes if they finish in last place. I guarantee you that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You have to. Especially with the expectations you now put on this ball club by signing Machado, bringing Tatis up. You can't do that.
Well, let me throw this out at you, to you and the fans, Jim, and I want to get your thoughts. See, you know, last week we're talking, are they going to be sellers or are they going to be buyers? Well, today they're going to be sellers.
And tomorrow they'll be buyers when they win.
If they win 3 straight, then all of a sudden. See, I said at the beginning, the next 14 games are going to define this season. When you take a look at who they have to play over the next 14 games, 11 of those games are against teams with a losing record. Granted, San Francisco is one of those teams that just swept the Padres here at Petco Park last time out. But they've got 3 against the Marlins, 3 against the Cubs, 3 at Citi Field against the Mets. Then they come home. They got the Giants for 3. And then they've got 2 to finish the month on the 30th, the 29th and 30th. They play the Baltimore Orioles. But this road trip and the next 5 home games are going to define this Padres season. They're going to either be in it or they're going to be out of it. And if they don't start playing better baseball starting tomorrow night, they'll get swept by the Marlins. The Marlins are not a joke team anymore. They got some good young talent on that ball club.
I just don't know what else like they could do with that bullpen. It's one of those things where you are what you are. Besides Kirby Yates, I mean,
well, the only way you're going to get that bullpen straightened out
is if you trade for somebody.
Well, we can talk about trades, but you need your starters to go more than 5 innings. That's why the other night, after they'd tied the game, they had runners on first and third, nobody out. Lucchesi's coming up. He'd thrown only 79 pitches. Let him hit. Let him try to bunt. If he doesn't get it done, you still got runners on first and third, and you got Tatis and Hosmer coming up behind him. Try to get another inning or two to shorten the gap. That's the problem we've been talking about, is this a starting staff not going deep enough, and then you've got to use three or four relievers per night. And the problem was, Lucchesi wasn't great. He didn't have his great stuff the other night, but he gives up that two-run homer in the first inning to Donaldson, and after that, he settled in and threw a pretty good ball game.
At one point, he retired 9 straight?
I don't know. I had a 5-year-old sitting on my lap. I didn't have my scorecard.
He retired
working.
A good amount in a row, so it wasn't – I mean, he bounced back for sure, and I thought it was a quick hook. Just the bullpen, every time the bullpen comes in, it's just it's always an adventure.
I mean, I would love to see a veteran pitcher get pulled in the fifth inning in a ball game where it's tied and you've got runners on first and third. I mean, I'm thinking about some of the old school guys. And by the way, my heart and prayers go out to Bob Gibson, the great Hall of Famer who's battling pancreatic cancer. I met him once upon a time, and I'm not going to get into that story now. But, you know, some of the old guys from yesteryear, and I'm not trying to say, hey, you know, that the game was better back then. There were a lot of things that were better. Players were a little bit more fundamentally sound back in those days. But I still enjoy Major League Baseball now. But you know, they could have let Lucchesi hit the other night and try to get another, at least one, if not two more innings out of him. I mean, you got to, for a guy like Lucchesi, his pitch limit ought to be 100.
Has he pitched 100 this year?
I think once.
Maybe once, yeah.
Yeah, we can go back and look at the game log, but they normally hook him after about 90. He could have gone, you know, at least another inning. But, you know, Andy wanted to try to get the lead right there, even though Mejia had hit the homer. They had runners on first and third, nobody out. You know, let him come up, try to bunt, get the runner to second. You got second and third. They walked Tatis probably to go against Hosmer, and hopefully Hosmer doesn't strike out or hit into a double play, and he drives in the go-ahead run anyways, and you still got a pitcher out there. But instead, they had to go to the bullpen, and then that hurt them the other night because then they got into the situation where they started doing double switches, and they ran out of players. So at the end of the game, Brian Snitker was able to walk a hitter intentionally to bring up Luis Perdomo with the bases loaded and two outs. And the Padres, give Perdomo credit, he hung in there. He hung in there and gave the best at bat he could. But at the end of the day, you can't run out of players by the 10th inning. It's different if you're in the 17th or 18th inning, but you're running out of players in the 10th inning. That's not good. Burned his backup catcher, Austin Allen, way too early in that ball game. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973.
By the way, Lucchesi did pitch 100 pitches this year against the Brewers.
One time, right?
On June 17th, 7 innings, no runs, 3 walks, 5 Ks.
But that's the only time this year, right?
He threw 100 pitches again against the Dodgers. Another time, so 100 pitches there. So he has pitched 100 pitches this season, multiple times.
Well, they got to play better. I mean, they got to play better. I mean, could you imagine, seriously? I mean, it could be a realism now. If they don't start turning around and Bruce Bochy's team continues to play well, could you imagine the Padres finishing in the cellar this year?
Absolutely not. If they finish in the cellar, like you said, there's going to have to be big changes.
Big changes. All right, let's once again, we played it early in the show, but I know we have new people coming on all the time. Here's Andy Green after yesterday's latest loss.
It's obviously frustrating for us. Anytime you get swept, it's a frustrating series. I think you look at these last two games in particular and feel like we had every opportunity to win these baseball games. Today especially, kind of had the guy on the mound in the situation we wanted him on the mound. Freddie Freeman got to a fastball up and away. We did that a lot to him. This series had success right there. He finally turned that pitch around. Wing's done really well against lefties all season long. He's been great in those types of situations. Didn't play out. The Acuna kind of excuse me hit that kind of extended that inning along. Frustrating series.
Very frustrating for everyone involved, including all the fans. And by the way, I do want to bring this up. I went to the game, as I mentioned early in the program, on Saturday night. I went with my youngest daughter, two of my grandchildren, 5 and 4. The 5-year-old is going to turn 6 here in early August. And we had a great time. It was Aloha shirt night, Jim. You got one.
Yeah, I got one. That's pretty cool.
And I'm going to tell you, I want to say something to the Padre organization. A job well done, because I went through, and, you know, I wanted to get one. I'm a big guy. I'm at least a double X, normally double X long. And I said, hey, give me the biggest shirt you have. They go, well, sir, you got to go over here to go get the shirt.
The same with me. It was very easy.
Well, that's what I want to get to. They gave me a little little ticket, and we went out the door, walked around. They had it perfectly, quartered off to where you just walk in a line. You walk in, what size you want? I need a double X, and they give it to me. And I ran into a guy that's worked for the Padres for a long time, a guy by the name of Ken Kawachi. And that was his staff out there. And Ken, you and your staff, I want to tell you, thank you, number one, for getting me a shirt. It still didn't fit, but my wife got a new shirt now, okay? But I can't tell you how easy it was and how all of Ken's staff had a smile on their face and they were happy to take care of all the Padre fans. I just thought it was really cool the way they handled that the other night.
It's a cool collector's item if it doesn't fit you.
Oh, it is a cool collector's item. I got so many Padre bobbleheads. You know, I'm not going to be there on the 27th. I think they're giving away the chicken bobblehead. You got to go that night and get me one. I can't be there that night.
I will definitely be there for sure. That is the one giveaway this year that is like on the list for me to get.
I hope so.
That the chicken bobblehead's a must have.
The chicken bobblehead's good. I want to get to a good group of calls in our next segment. I want to throw that phone number out to you right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And when we come back, I want to get into a little bit more about Jeff Passan saying that the Padres are making available Hunter Renfro and Franmil Reyes. Also coming up after the bottom of the hour, Jeff Fletcher, who writes for the Orange County Register, will talk about the Angels and how they're turning things around and what an amazing night it was this past Friday night at Angel Stadium. Stay with me. We're going to get to your calls when we return. Coach John Quintero going to 3 o'clock in the Gwynn and Chris Show today right here on 97.3 The Fan. 2:18 the time. Thanks for joining me today. Hope you enjoy my midday show here on 97.3 The Fan. Jim and I and the whole gang enjoy being in here. Hopefully you enjoy it as well. Love to hear from you. 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Who would I trade of the two corner outfielders? I would trade Franmil Reyes. I think there's more of an upside with Hunter Renfro. Renfro, I would imagine, if he were to go in the Syndergaard deal, I would certainly think that's the guy the Mets would want would be Hunter Renfro. He's got a cannon arm. He's gotten a lot better in the outfield. He got big-time power, and you just stick him right in that middle of a lineup and let him do some damage. I just get the feeling. I don't know what it is. It just seems like the Padres haven't been enamored by their former number one pick, Hunter Renfro. Of course, he was drafted by the prior regime, and I don't know if that means something or not. I've said, and I've gone on record several times talking about Franmil Reyes. I've talked to Franmil, marvelous guy, hard-working guy, wants to get better. He's a sponge.
Was a bad look, bad series, going against the Dodgers on the road, four-game series. This first half could have ended really bad.
They could be about six games under, and they're right at 500. They're still in the wild card hunt, and there's hope. As Tim Flannery would always say, you got to have hope. You got to have hope.
First time they finished off a first half 500 or better since 2010. So it's been a minute.
Okay, I want to get to the futures game, and then Greg and PB, Daniel LaHoya, I'm going to get to you. If you'd like to chime in, we got a couple of topics today. Number one, with the Padres now at the All-Star break after 90 games at right at 500, how would you describe the Padres' first half in one word? We've had some great ones today. Mine was encouraging. Randy's was, what did Randy say? Randy went inconsistent. Jim's mom said sexy. And we got a bunch of them. I've written everyone down, every phone caller that has called in. I got their name and what word they used. And we'll talk about that probably a little bit more tomorrow. But I'd love to hear from you, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. But I want to talk about the futures game because I watched most of it last night. And my wife and I watched it. I mean, what a day. We watched the women win. The World Cup. Then I watched the Padre-Dodger game. Then I turned on the Futures game. And then I watched the men get beat by Mexico last night. And then I watched the highlight shows and I went to bed. But in the Futures game yesterday, it ended up in an 8-inning tie, 2-2. Mackenzie Gore, who we talked a lot about last week on the program, he's not ready for the big leagues. He's in single A right now. He'll probably get moved here, I would imagine, in the next few days to double A in Amarillo. He went one inning yesterday, walked Drew Adele, the Angel prospect, and picked him off, and then retired the next two hitters on line drives. You know what? Three outs, and he picks one guy off after walking him. Didn't show me a lot. I didn't really see his full arsenal, Jim. But we know the guy's got talent. But, you know, the bottom line, it doesn't look like he'll be in the big leagues this year. Adrian Morahone, who started the year hurt, he looked good yesterday as far as velocity, 95 to 98, 81 breaking ball, one inning, two hits, no runs. He was okay. Nothing really surprised you. But then the 19-year-old kid, Luis Patino, I think that's how, Patino, inning and two-thirds, three strikeouts. This guy was unbelievable. Did you see him at all, Jim?
I just saw a highlight on Twitter that I retweeted.
Wow, he was throwing heat.
And it was filthy. It was one of those eye-opener highlights.
You know, 96 to 99, yeah. And then he dropped that power slider in 87, 89.
It was like, whoa, this guy's in the Padres system? I mean, we all heard about him, but just seeing his stuff.
19 years
old. On the big
old.
Stage. Yeah, I know. And it's like more, we all say like, oh, more coming, more's coming. Like, this is what it is, and you see it now on the big stage.
Gore was fine, and you know he's fine. You know, when you're out there, it's like a one-inning tryout, and you don't really get to use all of your pitches. He walked the first hitter on four pitches, then he went 1-0 on the next hitter.
Everybody loves him. Everyone says that he is the best pitching prospect in all of baseball right now.
Right.
So I'm going to go with their word on everything. Like, yeah, he might have not looked as dominant yesterday in just one inning. He walked a guy, picked him off, you know, a couple like hard hit ball. But I mean, it's just one inning. And if
to be in that game, you got to be awful good just to be picked, yeah, to be in that game.
If everyone says that he's the number one prospect, pitching prospect in baseball, and he's going to be a lights out, you know, starter, they say, I'll take him for their word.
But what I saw yesterday, he's awful young, 20 years of age. He's still in, you know, the California League, which, by the way, is a very good hitters league normally. Let him go to the Texas League. Let him pitch there. Don't go run him up too many innings. He's already thrown more innings this year, I believe, than he did all last year. So, you know, let him go to Double A, and then let him go to spring training and find out, you know, where it's at. Maybe he can compete for a job in the rotation as early as 2020. We'll have to wait and see. Adrian Morahone, he's had not a real good year. He was hurt, I think, a couple of different times, but he's got great arm strength at 95, 98, threw his breaking ball at 81. But Patino was the guy. He was the guy that really stole the show. In a lot of ways, maybe should have been the most valuable player if it wasn't for Bauer, the kid from Baltimore, and hit the two-run homer for the American League.
Yeah, I only watched the Padres, so I didn't watch the rest of the game, like you, Coach.
The only thing that I didn't like, Padres didn't have any position players in the game. They got three pitchers.
Most of them are on their way to the bigs right now.
Good point. Let's get back to the phones. By the way, we got Mike Hill coming up from Fox Sports. He does the Clipper pre- and post-game on Fox Sports, so he'll join us at about 2:40. Greg and PB, you're on with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for taking the phone call. Appreciate it. Great to have you back on the air. You just have great takes. Good. You keep it down to earth, Coach. You just keep it down to earth, and you got plenty of experience to share with all of us, so we appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Quick thing here. I won't bore you. I'd say fluttering for the Padres. Fluttering. I catch them quite a bit. Thank God we got the cable thing figured out after a few years ago when we
right.
watch them on TV. So just watching guys not play. Reyes fielding in the outfield, and Myers, of course, and Hedges isn't hitting, and the bullpen just seems to be topsy-turvy with Stock, and Wingertur comes in there, and he's like a poor man's Goose Gossage. He's spitting, and he doesn't even have any spit in his mouth, and he's taking his hat off and doing all the stuff. I want some veracity in this bullpen. I mean, this bullpen needs to get cranked back up.
Well, I think if you end up moving Matt Strom into the bullpen, I think he'll help the ball club better in that role than he would as a starter.
Oh, okay. Well, they need some help. I mean, we're wasting a season that some of these guys are really between Hosmer at first base and, of course, Tatis Jr. These are some good career seasons, these guys.
Yeah, Machado's got 20 bombs after a slow start.
One last thing here, okay. Machado makes $30 million. I find it hard to believe that he's $28 million better than Fernando Tatis.
Well, Tatis is a rookie. He's making major league minimum right now. And with the way this kid is playing, I would certainly think the Padres are working on a long-term contract. Padres have him under control for five more years after this year.
That's just not fair, because Mike Trout had great seasons. Whatever happened to the team out of courtesy just saying, you're outperformed your contract, we like you a lot, we're going to give you a – just like Yates. I mean, Yates, everyone talks about trading. Every closer the Padres has that's an all-star, all of a sudden we're talking about trading them. How about keeping an all-star? We sure did keep Trevor Hoffman when he was an all-star. Why do we always have to trade our closer? Because we can't pay him the money?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Kirby Yates is a little bit different. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, got DFA'd after one game with the Angels a few years ago. The Padres pick him up. He ends up being their setup guy in the eighth inning, and then they trade Brad Hand to Cleveland. He becomes the closer. Now at 32 years of age, he's having, you know, his best year in the big leagues. It end up maybe in the best year of his career. I don't know where it's going to go after this year. But, you know, again, the Padres got a lot of young arms down in the minor leagues that they can control for, you know, 6 years once they bring them to the big leagues. You know, and I don't think you're going to spend a lot of money on Kirby Yates. I don't think Kirby Yates will get a big contract here in San Diego. He'd have to do it for a couple of more years before I think anybody would give him big money. But as far as Tatis Jr., I would certainly think the Padres behind the scenes are probably working on some kind of long-term deal with his agent. I would certainly think that.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. Love the pods. Let's go get them.
All right, yeah. Greg. Thank you very much. Let's duck in Gary in San Diego. Gary, you're on with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How are you?
Great, Coach. I'm Gary from Kansas City. I was lucky enough to have Satchel Paige as my mentor.
Oh, I remember. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, first, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And then at the beginning of the year, well, me being a pitcher and had quite a bit of experience playing ball, defense is the key to championship. In baseball, your pitcher and your catcher and that infield is your starting points. The Padres, that last game they won of the Dodgers, that's an example of what they need to do consistently at least 60-70% of the time. And I'll give you my one word on the Padres and watching and seeing them. And I told you, I lived in the Dominican Republic and saw Machado in his little teenage years. And my one word is potential. Yes.
I think that's a really, really good word, Gary. Welcome back. Coach John Quintero with you at the top of the hour. It'll be the Gwynn and Chris show today on 97.3 The Fan. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to get to you shortly, but right now we're going to head out to our SDCCU fan hotline and be joined by an outstanding writer. Really enjoy reading what he writes regarding the Angels, and I've been doing it for a long time, both here in Southern California as well as Northern California. Jeff Fletcher from the Orange County Register joins me on 97.3 The Fan. Jeff, thanks so much for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Doing well. Let's talk about the day that Tyler Skaggs passed away. Down in Arlington, Texas. You were on the road trip. Well, man, unbelievable. Start of a road trip, and then not only do they end up not playing that night, they play the remainder of the series in Arlington, and then they move on to Houston before this ball club could come back and really start grieving. Could you talk a little bit about what transpired when you found out that Tyler had passed away?
Well, it was a very strange day. We'd kind of heard some rumblings from some of the Rangers writers that because they closed their clubhouse to announce to their team, you know, what had happened. And they said, you know, something big is happening here. And then we got the news like 10 minutes later that that Tyler had passed. And it was shocking just because, you know, we'd all just talked to him the day before, or a couple days before. And, you know, you just don't ever imagine something like that happening. And, you know, they didn't play a game that day, but they came back the next day and they played and they won. And they won the day after that, and they ended up winning 3 out of 6 on the trip, which is, you know, pretty good. Those are two pretty good teams they played on the road, and you know, I don't know how they could even play a single game, let alone continue playing like that. And they've won 6 out of 9 since then, so it's remarkable how these guys are able to really separate, you know, when they're on the field and still do their jobs, and when they're still really hurting, you know, when they're off the field.
Jeff, you've been covering the Angels now for a few years, but I can only imagine going into the clubhouse on that Tuesday, the day after they didn't play the night before. He had passed on Monday. You got to go in the clubhouse. I know there was a press conference that day. What was it like for you to go into that clubhouse the first time?
I really didn't want to go in there at all because I felt like I just wanted to give them their space to be with each other and not have me coming and nosing around. And, you know, I didn't want to ask questions about it, and I'm sure they didn't want to answer them. But, you know, on the first day, they came out and they came to a press conference, and it was pretty much up to them which players wanted to talk. And a few of them did. I think it was sort of therapeutic for them. And so that sort of broke the ice a little bit. And then the next day, you know, we went in a little bit, and sort of they brought players out that we needed to talk to about, you know, other things. And then the day after that, it was when it finally started to feel like a little bit normal, but still it's very, it still doesn't feel normal. But, it, you know, every day it gets a little bit more, you know, back to normal.
Jeff Fletcher joining us from the Orange County Register on the SDCCU fan hotline. They played good on that road trip. After Texas, they had to move on and take on the Houston Astros before they got to the All-Star break. Then they come back Friday night. They open up against Seattle, first game after the All-Star break, first home game since Tyler Skaggs had passed away. And I'm going to let you kind of take it from there, because I got a chance to watch the game on television, and I had tears rolling down my eyes as the night went on.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, you see them all wearing their Skaggs 45 jerseys, and they did a little ceremony before the game that was, I thought, very tasteful and just the right touch. It was they had a little minute long montage video of Tyler, and they had his mom come out and throw out the first pitch, and players from both teams were all on the foul line watching, and I'm sure there's a lot of tears being shed there. And they came out and they played basically not a quote-unquote perfect game, but pretty much a perfect game. They scored 7 runs in the first inning, 13 runs overall. Their pitchers combined to allow nothing but a walk, and they won 13-0. And I mean, that's, you know, about as good as you can get. And then to have it be a no-hitter, you know, was just really incredible. And there were all these little coincidences, too, within it. 7 runs in the first, 13 in the game. Skaggs' birthday was 7-13. You know, there have only been 13 combined no-hitters in all of baseball history, I think. One of them was pitched on July 13th, 1991, which was the day Tyler was born. So it's crazy.
Very much crazy. Jeff Fletcher from the Orange County Register, nice enough to join us on the SDCCU fan hotline. The Angels start a big series tonight at home against the Houston Astros, 48-46 right now. You have an update yet on Mike Trout, whether or not he's going to be able to give it a go tonight with that right calf?
I haven't heard anything yet. Should be very shortly, but it didn't sound like it's too serious from listening to what Mike had to say yesterday.
Hey, Jeff, how's Ohtani coming along? I know he's thrown off the mound a little bit. How's he coming along?
Well, I mean, everything is on schedule for pitching. He's not going to pitch this year, but basically they want to kind of push him as far as they need to push him. So if he's going to have a setback, he has it now instead of next year. But this year they're just having him hit, and you know, I think he's going to get up to the point where he can maybe face hitters in like a simulated situation in September or October, and then they'll shut him down for the winter and start it up again for to get ready for spring training.
Hey, I wanted to get one more question because I know you got to get to work and you got a ball game to cover tonight. Mike Trout, I sit here in amazement watching him as a baseball player, but I watch the interviews he does when people talk to him on television. What's he like to cover on an everyday basis? Because he looks like the Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy, the way he acts.
Yeah, he's a really good guy. He's always accommodating, always there if you need him. He'll answer any question. He doesn't fill up your notebook too much with colorful stories or good quotes. I think that's just kind of the way he is, but it's fine. You know, he's the best baseball player in the world, so that's a pretty good skill to have. You don't have to be a quotable as well, but he has taken a little more of a kind of a vocal leadership role in the last couple of years, and especially what we saw recently with what happened to Tyler. He kind of was the first of the players to talk about what had happened, and he'd known Tyler for the longest. So, yeah, he basically stepped right up there and kind of took control of the situation.
Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for your time. I look forward to doing this again, but I just want you to know I really enjoy your writing.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Jeff Fletcher from the Orange County Register. You can follow him at Jeff Fletcher, OCR, a good man. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Jimmy, Jeff Fletcher, before he started covering the Angels, he covered the Giants once upon a time, and he also covered the Oakland Athletics.
He's turn the mic on, Jim. Yeah, he's been around baseball for a long time, so he's a great writer.
Oh, he's an outstanding writer, and he's really good on Twitter, I might add, too. I've been following him for a long time on Twitter. I think he does a fantastic job.
And the whole thing Friday night, like, I've texted, you know, Adam, I texted you at, like, the sixth inning and get the notification on my phone.
Right.
And you're just thinking about it because you know that was the first game home for the Angels since the passing of Tyler Skaggs. And they did the whole tribute, and then his mom throwing out the first pitch. You're just like, oh my gosh. And you have in your mind, it'd be kind of cool if they threw a no-hitter. And then it starts happening, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is really happening. And I remember when I got home, I had the MLB Network on, and they were showing the A's White Sox game. And I was just like, I don't care about this game. Just turn it to the Angels game right now. So luckily they did, and you got to see it. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, I felt bad for the Mariners the other night because they were really the sacrificial lamb in that game, really the entire weekend. I mean, there was so much emotion at Angel Stadium, but the other night there was nothing Seattle could do. I mean, it's just one of
divine
those very, very special nights that, you know, we may never see again. You know, I was trying to think about where that ranks. I mean, that was unbelievable. The night
that
you're honoring
too, yeah.
A player, I was thinking as far as on the field, you know, I'll never see again what Bumgarner did a few years ago in that World Series. We'll never see a starting pitcher do what he did. We're never going to see what happened the other night. We're never going to see that again. And I don't want to see it because you were honoring a man that died. You don't want to have to be honoring too many people when they're dying.
As far as, I was thinking about that too. As far as like sports moments in history, that has to crack. I mean, that has to be up there. You never see that. I mean, you always hope that it happens if you're doing like a tribute to somebody. You want, you know, the tribute to be magnified by something going on the field to pay tribute to that player or person that passed away or whatever they're doing. And to have that, Tyler Skaggs being the pitcher, everyone's wearing his number, you throw a no-hitter, not just a no-hitter by one pitcher. It was a combined no-hitter. I thought that was one of the most fitting parts, that it was a combined no-hitter.
And they did it with an opener. They had Taylor Cole throw the first two innings, then Felix Pena came in.
Seven straight no-hit innings?
Yeah, he walked one guy. I mean, that was one batter away. If he doesn't walk, who knows? They may have had a friggin' perfect game the other night.
Yeah, that would have been next level, but still, no-hitter's pretty good.
Hey, the Angels are playing good right now at 48-46. They're definitely put themselves back in the American League wild card. We're going to get back to your phone calls. We've got the Hang a Star play of the day coming up shortly. We're going to hear from Chris Ello. Is Tony, is he off the IL yet? Do we know? Jim, do we know? Is Tony off the IL?
I haven't got an official update.
I was worried about him on Friday.
Yeah.
I know on Thursday when he came in, he wasn't feeling that great.
Yeah, he got put on the IL for a little bit. I don't know if he's back off yet. So maybe I haven't seen him around here. He is? He's back up? Okay, we're good.
He's ready to go.
He's raring to go.
He's going to have all the answers for the Padres starting at about 3:03 today. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Remember, we got the Hang a Star play of the day coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Jim, it is a final from Coors Field in game one
Mercifully.
Of the day-night doubleheader. 19-2, the Giants pasted Buddy Black's Colorado Rockies, and now the Padres right now have a one-game lead over the last place, San Francisco Giants.
That's crazy to even think about. I mean, a month and a half ago, the Giants weren't even a thought, and now the Padres, essentially, they're only a game up on them. That doesn't look good.
Hey, are you surprised how much heat Andy Green's taken today on the program?
No.
No?
No. Andy Green's been kind of pushing the line of, you know, taking heat, but also not having a good enough roster to really get the full criticism. And then when Saturday night happens, you kind of just feel the storm of here it comes.
Yeah, I was kind of upset on Saturday night. You know, yesterday in that soundbite that you played of Andy earlier, it was from yesterday's game and how he goes, yeah, the last couple of games we were in position to win. Saturday night they should have won.
Yep.
Yesterday they didn't give me any reason to think they could win that game because they couldn't do anything against Soroka yesterday.
They were in it, but then when Wingeter came in, he got a couple outs, and then it just all unraveled. Like, he's the type of guy.
No, they were in it because it was a scoreless game.
That's what I mean.
But they didn't show me that they were going to score on Soroka.
Well, get Soroka out of the game, then
they finally got him out, and then they pinch hit, and ends up, Freddie Freeman comes up there in the eighth inning, and bingo, that ball goes out of the ballpark, and Soroka now 10-1 on the year. Let's get back to the phones. We're going to get to the Hang of Star play of the day shortly. Tom in Chula Vista, you're on with Coach John Cantara on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing today?
All right, Coach. I'm all right.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind today?
Reyes traded him to the American League as a DH because he's a brick in the outfield.
What do you get in return for a guy going to the American League as a DH? What do you get?
Well, hopefully somebody that can middle reliever, possibly.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. A 24-year-old corner outfielder who could be a DH in the American League. A middle reliever. I could buy into that, I think, Tom.
Thanks.
Hey, what do you think of the job that Andy Green's doing as the manager of the San Diego Padres? You okay with him?
No, he's losing me.
Losing you. Okay. All right, Tom. Hey, you're breaking up on me a little bit. Thanks so much for the phone call. You know, that's a fair question, I think, right now, Jim, is to ask people where they're at with Andy Green.
Well, yeah, of course it's a fair question, because you have a team that you would probably say is underperforming.
You know, I'm surprised that we've had as many people call in today and are very critical of the fourth-year manager here in San Diego. And again, I stirred the fire a little bit. When you take a look around the infield,
it's all your fault.
You got a guy like Hosmer who's got over 60 RBIs, hitting 281 or two somewhere. He didn't have a great series. Only had, I think, three hits in the series against the Braves. Then you look at Machado, 23 bombs. You got Tatis Jr., the talk of baseball. You got two corner outfielders with 25-plus home runs right now. Those are pretty good numbers. Those are pretty good numbers for a ball club now that's three games under 500 and having lost seven straight home games. That's not good. That seven straight home games really sticks in my craw. And the reason it does, not for me personally, but for the Padre fans, because I know how loyal this fan base is. And to go out there seven times if you're a season ticket holder and you walk to your car with your head down looking at the top of your loafers because your ball club's gotten beat, that really stinks. That really stinks, Jim.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No, it's not at all. Now, you sat in the stands on Saturday night. What were people saying?
I was in there Friday night, Saturday night as well.
Both nights?
Yeah.
Didn't bother to go up and get a free hot dog in the fifth inning at the press box?
I decided to go in the suite.
Oh,
yeah.
So you got bratwurst and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I decided to live it nice.
Oh, that's nice. Live any the big executives there?
No, I'm just a normal crowd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I haven't been invited there. I got to go to that one of these nights if I get invited.
You haven't been in the suite yet?
I've been there once, but I wasn't invited. I just kind of knocked on the door and they let me in.
Well, you
I think
know,
they
you
felt
can,
bad
you
for
can
me.
Go in there anytime you want.
I know. But I can't believe how quick this show's gone today.
It's gone by pretty quick.
Gone very quick. And now we're going to get to Hang a Star Play of the Day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star Play of the Day.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
A 97.3 The Fan.
Next delivery, it's grounded to Renhefo. Has the ball bounce away, recovers, throws, and the ball game is over. The Angels have no hit Seattle tonight here at the Big A. 13-0 the final. On a night where the Angels honored Tyler Skaggs, every single Angel player wearing his number and name on the back of their uniforms, a no-hitter tonight against the Mariners. What a scene.
That was the Hang a Star Play of the Day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
You, and thank you to the Angels Radio Network, their fine play-by-play man, Terry Smith, on the call. The Angels closed it out on Friday night against the Seattle Mariners 13-0. They also had 13 hits in that ballgame. And again, Mike Trout, 3-for-4 with two doubles, his 29th homer, and six RBIs. Trout's amazing to me. And it was great to have Mr. Fletcher on to talk a little bit about it. Jeff Fletcher. I always want to call him David Fletcher because of the Angel third baseman, but it's Jeff Fletcher from the Orange County Register. Good man. Let's get back to the phones as we work our way towards the Gwynn and Chris show. They'll be in for a full 4 hours today. Mike in San Diego, you're on with Coach John Quintero on 97.3 The Fan. How you doing?
Great. How you doing, Coach?
Doing great. How you doing? You kind of licking your wounds a little bit because of what happened to the Padres over the weekend like I am?
Yes, I am. I'm kind of disgusted with dropping those three games at home and the manner in which they did.
Well, the game Friday night, they didn't play well enough to win. I thought definitely on Saturday and yesterday it was a winnable game, but they really struggled going against Soroka, that young 21-year-old right-hander. He's awful good.
Yeah, it looks like that reliever that was in the eighth, what is that, Wininger?
Wininger, yeah, Trey Wininger.
Yeah, it looked like he lost his composure there and let that guy steal second base on him. It really hurt him bad.
Yeah, he looked a little hot and bothered out there on the mound yesterday. And, boy, I'll tell you, he tried to – I guess it was a fastball up that he served up to Freddie Freeman. That's an area where they'd actually done a pretty good job pitching Freeman up in the zone most of the week. And he was 0-for-11 prior to that homer yesterday.
Really, really well.
But he left that ball right in Freddie Freeman's wheelhouse, and he didn't miss it.
So what do you think about all these strikeouts and home runs? It seems like they're waiting for Hunter to come up there and hit a three-run or a grand slam for him. But that just don't work out all the time in baseball.
Well, I'm not a big you get the home run when you get it. But if you're going to, you know, pretty much base your whole offensive firepower on just home runs, then, you know, you're not going to be a real good ball club. Good ball clubs beat you in a variety of different ways. And the Padres really struggle to manufacture runs. And, you know, again, if you're the manager, and, you know, any manager, whether you're Bruce Bochy, Buddy Black, Dave Roberts, of course, Dave Roberts has got an unbelievable offense, and they got guys coming off that bench that can hit, and no situational hitting. This Padre ball club, when it comes to situational hitting, I don't know if they can even spell it. I mean, they're awful at situational hitting. And you know what? That goes back to the hitting coach. That goes to the player's makeup. I mean, I don't think there is any situational hitting on this ball club. They just sit back and try to drive the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, Tatis Jr. knows how to work the count, but he's a young guy. He does a lot of things really, really well. But most of these guys, Machado knows how to do it. Hosmer knows how to do it. But guys like Renfro and Reyes and the other guys, the latter part of the order, they don't know how to situational hit. They're just trying to get a hit or put the ball in play right now. I mean, unless the Padres have a night where some guy's throwing up lollipops and they hit a bunch of home runs, they don't win very many baseball games. And situational hitting, they're as bad as any team in baseball, I think, right now. Thanks again for the phone call. Big Chris Ello's in with his San Diego State T-shirt on. He's bearing down today.
And all this hair.
All the hair. The hair continues to go.
Yeah, baby.
Padres right now, as I sit here, they're one game out of tying for last place with the San Francisco Giants, and the Giants are actually playing pretty good ball right now.
Giants are playing crazy good right now. I mean, they're bashing the ball everywhere, and they put 19 runs up today.
Yeah, in game one.
Yeah, that's crazy. So they could be within a half game. I don't think you got to look over your shoulder. I mean, just take care of yourself right now. Obviously, I think you bring up a great point with the situational hitting, and I've been looking at this for about a month now. I think the Padres have only won two games all year when they haven't hit a home run. So, I mean, that tells you right there. Now, not everybody wins a bunch of games when they don't hit home runs, but the Padres are especially poor in that category, and I think that tells you all you need to know about, you know, this team's inability to manufacture runs. But, you know, they go on this road trip and they might get hot again. I'm not ready to give up on this team. They keep bouncing back, and they've shown a good ability to do that. I hope that they will this time. I know everybody's, you know, giving up now after one weekend, but I think that's a little premature.
Well, Chris, I said that when I opened the show, first segment today, The next 14 games are going to define the San Diego Padres' 2019 season. 11 of the 14 are against teams right now with losing records. And I know as well as anybody, it's not who you play, it's when you play them. But, hey.
They got to cash in.
The only team they play with a winning record is at the end of this week, they play the Chicago Cubs on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They've got Miami for three. Then the Cubbies, then the New York Mets for three at Citi Field. They come home, they play the Giants, who just swept them here at Petco Park. I can't believe the Giants are coming back this soon.
Yeah.
And then they finish off on the 29th and 30th against the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, so that's a chance, but I don't think it really matters. To me, it's not who the Padres play, it's how they play. Right? I mean, hasn't that kind of been proven this season? I mean, they've handled the teams that are better than them. And, you know, they haven't been able to play so well against some of the bottom teams. So I think that's just the definition of a young team. I really do. So I know everybody's upset
I can
with
tell
what
you
happened
this
weekend, but
I can tell you this. Andy Green's taking a lot of heat on this program today.
Oh, I'm sure he is. I'm sure.
You think it's deserved?
I just knew when I was sitting there Saturday night and Luis Perdomo had to bat with the bases loaded that Andy Green was going to take a lot of guff from the fans, because the fans are just looking to beat up on Andy Green, and that's fine. I mean, if that's what you need to do to get through your season. But in my mind, he's your manager. I think you support Andy Green. I think he does a great job, you know, 9 times out of 10. And
I think if you only have four guys
on your bench, you're going to end up with a pitcher hitting once in a while.
I thought he had a rough game on Saturday night.
Well, maybe. But who hasn't had a rough game? I mean, did Tony La Russa manage every game perfectly?
No, not at all.
Right. You know, so every time the Cardinals lost four in a row, I mean, did they want to fire him?
I think I would have let Lucchesi hit in the fifth after you tied the game, had runners on first and
all
third,
right,
nobody out.
That's fine. And maybe you would have saved you a pinch hitter later on.
Well,
but
also save your
Mejia's
bullpen.
Ball could have sailed out of the ballpark and won you the ball game. I mean, that thing only missed by about a foot and a half. So, you know, Andy Green would look like a genius if they win the game. So baseball's such a matter of inches. And right now these teams are so close. What are there? 8 teams within 3 games of each other. You could end up on top of that pack or you can end up at the bottom of that pack. And it wouldn't make much of a difference in the ability of your team.
What do we got today on the Gwynn and Chris program?
Harold Reynolds will be on the program. He picked the Padres to go to the playoffs during the All-Star break. You'll find out whether or not he's staying on the bandwagon. We're going to have Harold Reynolds and talk some baseball with him and couple of other guests, all kinds of fun as usual.
And full 4 hours, and little Tony Gwynn Jr. is back and ready to go.
He's back, and he's a little bristly today, so I'm kind of looking forward to pushing a few of his buttons, see what we can come up with.
All right, I'll be listening, as you said in the promo. I will be listening on the way home today.
You're the man.
All right, Jim Russell, great
job today.
Oh, that's
right, Jim Russell's the man. Sorry.
Yeah, Jim Russell,
damn right.
Good effort today. For Jim Russell, Coach John Quintero. Have a great day, everyone. And remember, keep that dial tuned right here to the Gwynn and Chris Show. Coming up next, right here on 97.3 The Fan. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.